Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all gathered together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues, as of fire, appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. What must it have been like on that first day of Pentecost when the apostles first truly knew the life that was inside of them? When they truly knew the Lord. Do you have any comparison today? How do you know the life that is inside of you? How many days do you wake up and think to yourself, how lively do I really feel like being today? You know, maybe I should just lie back down and see you again in 15 more minutes. It can be truly hard to push through life in this world. We see violence, destruction, and evil all around us. We see a world that makes us weary, a world where we question whether or not these old bones can keep on going. We see a world that does not know the Lord. We see a world where we begin to question whether or not we truly know the Lord ourselves. In our sermon for today, I'll be walking you through our Old Testament text from Ezekiel as he is given a prophetic vision, a vision that would give comfort and hope to the old bones of Israel. And a vision that comforts us today in the knowledge that the Holy Spirit has given us life. As we start to dig into this text, let me first answer the question, who is Ezekiel? Ezekiel is a prophet and a priest who lived with the first wave of the Judean exiles in Babylon. Our text takes place after the fall of Jerusalem in 587 BC. And at this point in Ezekiel's message, he has for the most part switched from law to gospel. In fact, our text from the Old Testament is a gospel proclamation to the whole house of Israel. Ezekiel starts out in chapter 37, verses 1 and 2, by saying, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones, and he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry." As this prophecy begins, Ezekiel travels by means of the Holy Spirit, who brings him into a valley full of bones of the dead. But these dead are so far gone that we can't even tell who they are. So we are left wondering, what happened here? Why are there so many dead? These bones are not the recently deceased or the battlefield injury where there is hope of medical intervention. These bones are very, very dry. These people are dead beyond anything we've seen or anything we have the wildest imagination of being able to sustain life. And yet, almost laughably, God asks Ezekiel in verse 3, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I must confess, my own inner monologue takes over at this point and says, "Of course not. Don't be ridiculous. These bones are as good as dust. The only living that these bones are going to be doing is to live out the remainder of their existence as plant food." Instead, Ezekiel answers, "O Lord God, you know." What an amazing statement of truth. Ezekiel recognizes that only God knows how to create and sustain life. Therefore, as if he expected the prompt, God moves the question forward by telling Ezekiel in verse 4, "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.'" What a miserable job Ezekiel has. As a prophet at this point, here he is told not to prophesy to stubborn people or to people who might disagree with him, but to people who are nothing more than dead, dry bones. How in the world are bones supposed to hear the prophecy? Bones can't hear. However, the word of God does what it says. It caused time, existence, and all reality to come into being. How much simpler is it to make dead bones hear? But not only will these bones hear. God tells Ezekiel in verses 5 and 6, "Thus says the Lord God to these bones, 'Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.'" Notice the order that these things are to occur. First, God will create sinews and flesh and skin, but life will not be restored until breath enters into them. It is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that restores and brings to life. In Hebrew, the word for breath, wind, and spirit is the same word. It is the word ruach. It is only after they have been given the Spirit, the ruach of God, that God says, "They shall know that I am the Lord." Ezekiel then continues in verses 7 and 8. "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone, and I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them." Ezekiel pauses here, as if to take a breath himself and make sure that the multitude of corpses is really what it appears. A valley filled with bones have been restored to bodies, but not yet to life. No breath meant no life. The Spirit gives life. Next, in verses 9 and 10, it says, "Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army." Here now, a multitude of believers has been restored to life. Believers with the Ruach of God, the Spirit of God, living inside of them. They have been brought to life, despite their own best efforts at decomposing into fertilizer. They have been brought back to life outside of their own choice, will, knowledge, or ability. Instead, only by the power of the Holy Spirit are they alive. Moving on with verse 11. "Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off.'" These bones are the bones of the whole house of Israel. And we here today are part of that house. We have been wearied by our sins and the sins of the world. We sit in despair over our sin, and our hopes of the future have been disillusioned. But through Christ, we are the new Israel. We are the new people of the promise of God given by Jesus himself when he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." And as we are now children of the promise, we also can rest assured in the life that the Holy Spirit has given us in our baptism. Because as the Lord says in Ezekiel verses 13 and 14, "And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and raise you up from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord." After the life given you in your faith and baptism comes the knowledge of the Lord. The Word of God does what it says. If it can cause time, existence, and all of creation and reality to come into being, how much simpler is it to make our dead, sinful bones rise up out of the grave? For the Ruach of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the breath of the Lord Almighty, the mighty rushing wind of Pentecost has called you by the gospel, enlightened you with his gifts, sanctified and kept you in the true faith. The Holy Spirit has given you life so that you shall know that Christ is the Lord. Amen. Now may the God of peace equip you with everything good, that you may do his will through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.